Are we on? We are on. Can I just ask a couple of people to come and move this communion table away? So Philip's asked me this morning to share briefly with you before we jump in the pool. So I thought I'd just share with you a couple of things that I've been learning over the last few weeks. I had thought about, since we're in the middle of Revelation, maybe sharing with you my calculations about the rapture and when Jesus is going to come back. But given I don't have any, I thought I'd choose this instead. So I've called it my recent learnings on truth, blessing, and hope. So let me just check this works. It does. Okay, so I've sort of pulled it into three things that I think God's been taking me through most recently. So the power of speaking truth, biblical truth that is, over ourselves and also as a tool to encourage other people. And then a new definition of hope that I've discovered as well. So something at work lately that we've been focusing on is the role of mindset. And there's been a lot of talk in our teams about how this is the single biggest influence on how people perform. And sort of the culture and workplaces. And they give you all sorts of graphs and bits and pieces to show that. Oh, by the way, Lydia helped me with my transitions today. So you might see some interesting things happen. There we go. Cool. So they give you all sorts of graphs and charts and things about how to think and how to act and all sorts of things. And I always like these triangles. They're always triangles. I almost expect to see like an all-seeing eye at the top of them, you know, the big man at the top in charge. But one of the things they have... Oh, here we go. One of the things that stuck out to me is the notion that our thoughts can actually influence our feelings. And that seemed kind of significant to me when I think about that from a Romans 12 point of view of renewing our minds. And one of the things they told us is they've done tests on people. They didn't know they were being tested. And they influenced what the radio was playing as these people got up and got their breakfast and went to work. And what they discovered is depending on whether those people heard positive or negative things coming over the radio station, their mindset at the very end of the day was completely different depending on what they heard. So basically what people are hearing and what's being said can influence how we feel. And this reminded me of two things. This guy and the whole think happy thoughts, the concept of being able to play well if you're thinking, if your head's in the right space. But more importantly, it reminded me of a proverb that says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what I've actually done is put together a few positive statements from Scripture, some truths that I consider to be valuable. And I've been saying these every morning on my way into work, and I've got a few up here. So things like, I am a child of God, I have the mind of Christ, I'm a new creation and I've been set free in Christ Jesus, I'm redeemed, forgiven and blessed, I'm God's workmanship, God supplies all my needs, I can do all things through Christ, and God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power and of sound mind. So I've discovered over the last few weeks that it seems to me that declaring truth and declaring God's promises is a powerful thing. And it has actually changed my frame of mind. Not consciously. I don't know that it's changing. But sometimes looking back, I realize that I'm acting differently and I feel differently than I was before. I mean, we know these things are true. I know they're true. But it's getting that to the forefront of our mind. It's living it and believing it. So I think the other thing that we can use the power of the tongue for is to encourage and bless other people. A friend of mine was recently at what he described as his lowest point in life. And when he went to church that morning, I think other people picked up on it. And basically all they did is stand around him and encourage him. They just spoke truth over him. They told him that, you know, he was doing fine, that he was appreciated, that he was loved, that things would pass. They reminded him of God's blessings and the future that he would have. And he said it just completely transformed his life to have people say that stuff over him. And it reminded me of Proverbs 10, which says, our mouths can be a fountain of life. So I think we can speak life over other people. Another thing I've been reading recently or thinking about recently is this book. Has anyone here read this? There must be a few. It's a pretty popular book. So it's a New Zealand author. It's completely free. I'd highly recommend reading it if you haven't. And he talks about the concept of blessing other people. And it's the concept of speaking God's favor over their life. And one of the things he brings up is that in Genesis, it's the very first thing that God does. After he creates Adam and Eve, it says that he blessed them. And then it's also the last thing that Jesus did before he ascended. It says that he lifted his hands and he blessed his disciples, those around him, and then he rose up to heaven. And there's heaps of examples in Scripture of how we can bless others. And the concept is that rather than just simply asking God to bless, is that we can actually bless because with that authority that we have in Christ Jesus. And I think an example of blessing that I found that I quite like is this one, which is it's a positive biblical statement that invokes the blessing of God in the life of another person. So we're not overriding or dictating God's will, but we're directing goodness to that person. I mean, Philip blesses us every week. He uses Aaron's blessings. You know, may the Lord keep you and bless you, make his face shine upon you. And in the New Testament, Paul frequently blesses those who he wrote letters to. We refer to them as sometimes the benedictions at the end of his letters. And, you know, there's plenty of negative stuff going on in the world. There's plenty of negative talk out there, and it's pretty easy for that to form the bigger part of our life and perspective. But 1 Peter says, return evil with blessing, knowing that you will inherit the blessing, or a blessing. I think it changes our minds as well. You know, I used to be pretty good at saying negative things about somebody who cut me off in traffic, but it's actually hard to stay mad at somebody when you're blessing them. So I think it changes the way that we look at people as well. And there's plenty of examples in that book of blessing things like our families, blessing our minds, blessing our house and our workplaces, and the effect that that has. He also mentions James 3:10, which says, out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing should not come. So that's been a reminder to me as well that if I'm going to speak life, if I'm going to speak truth and blessing, then I also need to be conscious about the negative things that I might say. And it's pretty easy when somebody's, you know, ranting about whatever, a workmate or another person or a situation they've had, to agree with them, you know, and to assume the position of that person as well. But that doesn't necessarily bring life into that situation. So we've got these concepts of speaking truth and blessing other people. And to me, I've found that they go hand in hand. I'm also finding that by doing this and actioning this, I've had a side effect. There's been a side effect that I've found which has been increasing what I consider hope in my life. So I've been thinking more about the role of hope and what it means. And I've realized that we tend to think of hope as a feeling or an emotion. And so in order to tease this out a bit, I got in touch with an expert, someone who I'd consider specializes in feelings and emotions, which is my 7-year-old daughter. So I've asked her to draw a hopeful person to see what that looks like. But I warmed her up on some easy ones, so let's see if you can guess what some of these are. So what emotion would this dog, because dogs are the best animals, what emotion would this dog be having? Yep, happy. Another easy one. Yep, sad. Check out those claws. We've got a very angry or a grumpy dog here. Okay, next. Yep. Scared. The shivers. Any takers? Excited? Yep, excited. Definitely excited. This one's slightly harder. Yes. Tired. The big yawn. Yes. A hungry dog. So then I asked her to draw a hopeful dog. And she didn't question what the word meant. She just sat down straight away. And this is what she drew. And I like this because I think it represents well our society's definition of the word hope. You've got a dog whose paws are clenched. It's got the wiggly, the wavy mouth, eyebrows furrowed. And I think this probably sums up about a third of the country last night watching the game, actually, including myself. So society says that hope is uncertainty. Well, that's what we relate the word to. You know, I hope I win lotto. I hope I don't catch the measles. I hope we win the rugby. But when you look in Scripture, there's a very different definition of that word. There's a sense that the term hope actually refers to moral certainty. That it's the expectation and knowledge of God's good character. So it's actually not uncertainty at all. It's certainty in God's goodness. And then I thought, well, does this mean that we can increase our hope? Or is it just an outcome or an expression of something else? And I came across Psalm 42, which I found really interesting with this in mind. So I'm just going to read this out to you. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. At your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So he's directly instructing his own soul to hope in God. He's not just listening to the... I mean, he sounds like a pretty depressed guy when you read through that. So I think this is another example of speaking truth, of speaking to our own body. It's not hoping that the Lord will do X. It's actually saying, hope in the Lord. Another practice that I've been trying more is just remembering our future. You know, we don't often talk about the eternal life that's available to us. You know, the fact that God will wipe away every tear. You know, it's an incredible future that we have. And yet this can quite often put things in perspective. So I've been trying this practice when I've been stressed or something's going on as well, is just reminding myself of God's promises and the future that we have. And I found that there's a peace available in that as well. I mean, sometimes it can be pretty hard. I'm pretty sure I'm a fairly logical thinker, and yet in difficult times, logic can be the absolute furthest thing from my mind. But what I've discovered is that by putting this type of thing in practice, by regularly reminding myself of God's promises and speaking truth, it makes it a whole lot easier in those times. So given that Paul tells us to take captive every thought and respond with truth, and given in Philippians 4 we're told to dwell on things that are pure, true, honorable, and right, to not be anxious but to pray, that the peace of God will guard our minds, I get the impression that there's actually some responsibility on us to be intentional with our thoughts and with what we say, rather than just being subject to them. I think it's important to point out that I truly believe it's the Holy Spirit that renews our mind. You know, I've got a tendency to think that I can figure things out, you know, that I can understand how God works more and read the books and stuff like that, but ultimately it is the Holy Spirit that transforms our mind. But I do believe that we can accelerate this by pursuing truth and by having the Word of God in our minds and by speaking truth as well. 1 Corinthians associates a maturing mindset with faith, hope, and love. And I think those three words really well summarize the mindset that I want to have. Faith, hope, and love. So I'm pretty sure I'm still early on this journey. I certainly don't have a renewed mind. But I'm being encouraged that there seems to be some form of renewing happening. Philip mentioned last week, he questioned whether it's hard to be a Christian in our society. And I actually wonder if one of the hardest things for Western Christians is complacency. Not just on an individual level, but on a corporate level. You know, there's a role for us to encourage and renew each other's minds as well. So looking back over the last year, basically since my dad passed away, I think my relationship and journey with God has accelerated quite a lot through that time. And when I think about before that, I'm pretty sure I was subject to being complacent in how I was living. And so that's encouraged me to pursue God more. So I'm just going to conclude by reading the start of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself more than he ought, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So I'm starting to realize that there's actually this corporate element to renewing our mind as well, which is this church community, the believers that we surround ourselves with. So we have this collective mind, this collective church mind that needs to be renewed as well. Somebody said to me during this week that we use man's gifts to build man's church and we use God's gifts to build God's church. I thought that was quite powerful, really. So things like encouraging others and prophesying and serving and blessing other people, you know, these are the things that would build God's church. And we're all part of the same family, right? I mean, Ephesians 2 talks about us all being part of this temple built on the foundation of prophets and apostles with Jesus as the cornerstone. And so I think that ties in quite nicely with baptism, where baptism's not just being baptized into Christ, but being baptized into the body of Christ as well, which is all of us here. So I do want to say that it's really pleasing for me to see these guys standing up for their faith. You know, I don't think you have to look far these days to see people standing up for something. But I think it's easier to stand up for things that are politically correct. But these guys are standing up for things that are truly admirable. You know, they're actually laying down their life for the sake of Christ and for others, and they're declaring their allegiance to God. So, it's been a privilege knowing these guys, seeing them mature in their faith, seeing them invest in the lives of others. That's been really encouraging to me to see as well. So, I've been speaking about truth today. I've been speaking about blessing and encouragement, and I just want to say there will be an opportunity for that. So, after we dunk these guys, there will be a time when they're standing in the pool where we can bless them and encourage them and speak words of life over them as well. So if you have a thought come to your mind that's in line with God's character, then yeah, I encourage you to speak that out over them. And that sums it up for me. So I think we'll just take a few minutes, Philip, for us to get ready. I think the guys might need to get some wet gear on. And then what we might do is actually move these chairs away from the front here to create a bit of a space for people to gather around the pool. And then we'll get into it. Hopefully these guys have figured out who's going first.